Welcome. This is the first talk of track two here of SR Econ 2016. Everyone's excited to be here, I bet. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? All right. All right. Got it. I mean, we're here to have fun and learn some stuff. So my name's Caskey Dixon. This is Jake Welch. We're from Azure SRE. It's a new org within Microsoft's Azure program, reinventing how we do operations there. I see a few familiar faces in the audience. Some of you know me from past talks I've given. I used to be at Google and moved over for the exciting new changes that are happening inside of Azure operations. And so one of the tools that we've been using is part of that transition to a new model of operations involves discovering things about services and how they behave. And so we're here to tell you about a tool that we've been using as an investigative mechanism to try and understand the services that have been in production for many years, and we need to gain insight in order to begin operating them. And so Jake's going to take over and tell you all about how to roast your service.
All right, so we're going to start off and just kind of do a brief walkthrough of where Azure has kind of started off. It was first started in 2008. We came to SRE basically as a need to improve where we kind of at from a DevOps perspective. When Azure started, it was in a blended DevOps model. We had a small ops team and did direct escalations to product developers. Over the years, we obviously rapidly scaled, which eventually led to a lot of operational innovation walls and fragmentation of some of the methods, the tools, and the approaches across the various teams within Azure. This naturally produced quite a bit of overlap in the various solutions, some of which scale very well and some of which need a lot more handholding. In 2014, we started the first SRE pilots as one of the methods to overcome these obstacles. We learned a lot about implementing SRE within a large established company. And we found that implementing this in a mature engineering organization was going to require us to have a much stronger organizational posture, as well as develop some new tools. In 2015, we created a dedicated SRE organization, and this is where we came up with the concept for the service roast. And so this is helping us to introduce SRE to this established organization. So our problem becomes determining how to introduce SRE and to build relationships with product teams while moving the state of the product forward. We found resistance from some teams in opening up the kimono and engaging in candid conversations about their service. Other teams were quite happy with the ops team relationships that they had as is today and really had no desire to move forward with a new model. We obviously can't do this without them, as the product teams know their service the best and know exactly where the dead bodies are buried within their product. We needed to create a safe environment where service issues could be discussed to really move the conversation forward within the SRE organization. So this is where service roasting comes in. The name is a play on the Friars Club comedy roasts and implies a good-natured conversation between the various teams. This is one of the tools we use to establish a safe environment to discuss issues which would otherwise be seen as contentious. We'll be discussing how we leverage this model with your services to uncover and document improvement opportunities. So what is a service roast? The goal is to gain understanding of the service and identify shortcomings in a safe manner. In our roast series, we typically cover the entire service from the source control to deployment to disaster recovery, so pretty much the entire service lifecycle. You can do this for a set of the service lifecycle as well. It doesn't have to be the entire thing. We've done that in a couple of cases, but typically we go from the very beginning to the very end of the service lifecycle. Everything identified as an improvement opportunity is always recorded, and work items are identified. This is a great tool for both new and established internal and external services, and it can also be used for SRE services, built services as well. At this point, you might be asking yourself, why would I do this? I already have a process, I might have a checklist, a method of onboarding, or some other way of guiding conversations with product teams. We found this to really be an excellent way to build relationships, and more importantly, trust between the organizations and between the teams. Everyone involved on both the product and the SRE teams have received great insight about the service, including pieces that are really often ignored or forgotten, those little tiny things in the corner that cause you pain later on. This really avoids helping, can avoid finding out about nagging issues during an outage and instead solve them more proactively. Every development manager for the service often comes away with a better understanding of the details for exactly how their service works in reality rather than the way they thought it was designed and actually built. This process also gives us sufficient context to allow improvement opportunities to be identified, opportunities identified to be executed by product teams or by the SREs in kind of a shared backlog approach. To run through this process for the entire service can be a significant time investment from both SRE and the product teams. This requires focused attention and dedication on both sides. In our experience, it takes approximately 10 hours to run through a moderate-sized complex service from the very beginning of the development life cycle to the end of the deployment and how we run and do disaster recovery. These meetings are performed across several weeks, but we've generally found that this is actually very well worth the investment of time from both the product side as well as on the SRE side. We initially started with 1.5-hour meetings. We found this is way too long. It ends up causing fatigue and leads to a lot of escalating emotions, and people start to get tired, and the whole conversation kind of degrades. We found that 45-minute conversations tend to be the most useful and fruitful of the of lengths, just because it gives us enough time to really kind of cover the topic that's identified, as well as not go too long to have people become frustrated with each other and why are you asking these questions of me. The most important thing, really, within the roast is the tone of the conversation. This is paramount to a successful conversation and making sure that you don't degrade trust and respect across the teams. Before you even start, it's really important to reach a common understanding of the purpose of the meetings and the value that it will have to each team. It's not easy to just say, hey, we want to have 20 hours of meetings with you and talk through this stuff, and nobody feels like they get anything out of it. So you have to have that conversation up front, make sure people understand that this is going to be likely some difficult conversations about things within their service. We found that how the questions are phrased is incredibly important and makes a huge difference in the direction of the conversation. How versus why is really the difference between an onboarding meeting and a roast in a safe environment. Most importantly, we're not here to attack the service or the choices that have been made, but rather to learn and ultimately make the service better overall in the long run. For example, why did you take a dependency on X when they have a 2.9s SLA? Really can be more generally phrased as what happens when dependency X fails? This then allows you to have more follow-up questions that gets you drilling deeper to exactly why those things are implemented in the way that they are. They might have historical context or other reasons that those things exist, and it might be more complicated to fix than it looks like on the outset. Or, why did you build a giant monolith that takes 3 years to build and deploy? Could become, what prevents you from deploying several times per day or per week? Obviously, you don't want to have a service that you deploy over the course of 3 years, but it's also important to understand why those decisions might have been made for the build system or the deployment system or anything else in between. It's important to avoid questions that appear to attack and really instead focus on questions that aim to clarify, to identify insights, and ultimately identify fixes for the service. When we started the roasts, we effectively only had the SRE and product teams involved. Hey, it was just a meeting between two sets of teams. Everything will be great. We quickly found that having an impartial moderator helped significantly in keeping teams on task and managing conflict. For example, we were on the third discussion with a team where we had discussions that had previously been healthy. When we began to drill into some of the architectural pieces for one of the core components of the service, it became clear that this was really a touchy topic. And the room quickly became very hostile. The moderator in this case was actually able to halt the conversation, de-escalate the situation, and reset expectations on how to interact, which allowed the conversation to continue. This avoided needing to cancel the meeting altogether and, worse, harm the relationships between the teams. The moderator is best as a person who is otherwise not involved in the engagement. We have run this with an involved moderator, but found it typically works best if this person is impartial to the outcome of the entire process. Their job is really to feel out the room by tracking body language, the tone of people's questions, and really the perspective of the questioning. That's some of that how versus why questioning. By doing this, they can de-escalate, and if needed, worst case, call off the meeting altogether. We have called off meetings before, as this was the best course of action to really prevent harm to the relationships between the teams. This is disruptive to the entire process. We try to avoid doing it, but if it's just unrecoverable, just stop. It's better to just stop at that point in time and continue during the next session. The moderator also helps to keep conversations on track. If someone veers wildly off topic, the moderator can direct us to a new session and allow completing of the current topic. We really, this role is super, super fundamental to the entire process and the success of it. Without this, you really are just a bunch of people in a room talking at each other and possibly getting, probably upset. The meetings work best if you choose a single area and dive deep into them. The subject matter experts for the given area are invited and typically will provide an overview, insights, and answer questions. The moderator kicks off the meeting by first providing an overview of the meeting intent and to set the tone. They can cover aspects such as the purpose of the engagement, how to ask questions, and the moderator's overall role in the meeting itself. After which, the experts that has been invited for that area can provide an introduction to the area, usually providing something like a whiteboard drawing or some other diagram that they might have brought along to kind of explain the area and how it functions and flows. The sessions should be interactive and not presentation style. This is actually really important. It helps to make sure that you uncover a lot of the areas that otherwise would be very difficult to get out of a presentation. I'm standing up here, I'm talking to you, you're not interacting with me, which means that you may have some additional things later, but you might have forgotten that by the end of the meeting. And so having that interactive style really kind of helps to make sure that you cover all of the areas in completeness. If the conversation goes in the weeds, the moderator can suggest scheduling additional time for that area in a future meeting. And this really just helps to ensure that you have sufficient time to cover the intended area. Otherwise, you may never get back to it again, and you've lost the learnings for that particular area. So as we stated in the beginning, the intent with the service roasts that we performed has been to understand the service from the very top to the very bottom. Every piece in between, where you store source, how you store source, how you do testing, and pretty much everything in between from monitoring to disaster recovery and live site. This provides a great starting point. This slide provides a great starting point for topics that might be good for your organization if this is something that you'd like to do. This is roughly the order that we've kind of run through them in the past, and it's been reasonably successful to give a good baseline and then build on top of that as you go. So if you want to take pictures of it, great. I'll pause for just a second. Okay. So at the end of the meeting, a new topic is chosen. And a candid conversation is had about what went well and what could have gone better. This really helps to make sure that the process going forward is as productive as possible and that you're not somehow stepping on each other's toes and causing problems that could be more efficient throughout the entire process. The scribe is accountable for ensuring participants have easy access to the outcomes from the meeting. This might include things such as interesting insights that were identified, changes for future topics, or improvement opportunities that will later be triaged. At the end of the entire series of meetings, a final conversation is had to discuss prioritization and urgency of completing identified opportunities. There's a few more things to consider when executing a service roast. It's fine to have pieces of information, or entire conversations for that matter, that stay inside the room, as long as the fix itself for how we actually correct that issue is recorded. This allows teams to provide more information than they may feel comfortable with providing. And it's important to really kind of establish that safe environment, which is key to a successful roast. You should expect that each service is going to be at a very different maturity level across each of the different areas, and really avoid comparing the services to each other. This is number one rule against why does service A do this and why do you do that. For example, it is possible, though, or fine to connect teams together for solutions. So if team A has a great library that solves a key bin packing problem, connect those two teams together, and so they can share those things. Best approach for this is to really state it as a suggestion rather than team A does it this way, why don't you? Lastly, if the product team is having a conversation between each other and they're talking about, hey, I don't think this is how this actually works and I don't agree with you, just don't stop the conversation. It's actually a great learning opportunity. It gives you great insight into how they perceive the service themselves and might identify some things that otherwise would be difficult to tease out by asking questions. So in summary, we believe this is actually a really fantastic tool to use, whether you're in a successful SRE organization or just trying to establish one. To be successful, it's best to establish a safe environment, set the tone of the conversation, and perform multiple short meetings. We found that the moderator role is a critical tool which helps to improve the success rate of the meetings. So we're happy to take any questions. I think Caskey is hoarding the mic.
I'm going to go put it back here. Hello? Yeah, I'm putting it back in case anyone has questions for the video.
How do you ensure the technical skills in the SRE to go through the entire tech stack or the service end to end? How do you build that skill set capital?
How do we build it? We try to hire SREs that have that technical depth and service experience. So that's a big part of it. The guidelines and kind of the agenda that we have helps to kind of illustrate and give the right set of tools, but it does require you to understand generally how do services work, how does the service function, and which is why we go through that in that order. We want to have an understanding of what the product is intended to solve, who it's for, who the customers are, and just kind of understand that stuff, and then move into the architecture. So we kind of have that baseline first before we go into other parts of the service to really understand it. In terms of the people involved, typically, we've had senior level members involved in these conversations because they tend to be the ones that do it, but we also have had junior people that also participate in terms of providing insights and asking questions, because they're actually really great people to say, that's complete junk. Like, and not say it in that way, obviously, but they don't have the preconceived notions and context that a more senior person may have.
A question, what's the engagement model of a service roast? Do you approach the teams, or is there an opt-in model, or how does that work?
Yeah, so historically I can share my with Caskey too if he wants to answer anything, but.
Well, our engagement model is, the SRE org is a parallel organization to all of the different feature teams, and this is part of the process where we identified a product team that wants to begin exploring the SRE model support and move away from their embedded DevOps. So there's high-level conversations that happen between our managers and their managers, and they decide, hey, we want to explore this. And so step one is, we need to know everything about your service. And so once it's been established that we're going to start, getting to know each other, we would begin with the service roast as a way of getting deep understanding of their service. Now, it may be that after the service roast, they've decided that they really don't want to move forward with a deeper engagement, but they still have all those learnings of, hey, here's everything we identified that might be an area that you want to address inside your product. So it still yields value even as an end in and of itself, because having gone through the process, they'll have gained insights about their product and a potential backlog. Ideally, though, we move on to a fuller engagement where we have a team that is attached to their team, and we share that backlog of issues, and we do some of the work on it, they do some of the work on it, and we then improve the product as a whole from an operations perspective. So,
kind of a follow-up question to that is, how do you determine what services get roasted? Is there like a prioritization, like is one thing worse than another? Or?
That's a really great question. It all depends on which teams want to engage with the SRE model. Coming from Azure, there are literally 100 separate services that make up the Azure ecosystem. And we're just beginning to grow out our SRE organization. And so we're finding teams who are most interested in trying this. And so the good news is we have more teams that want to try it than we have people that can do it. And so being able to do multiple service rows is a way of getting a light level engagement with many teams, but we have deeper engagements with some of the more core teams where it's a longer term, where we have dedicated engineering staff that are working on the outcomes of this process. So picking is hard. We look for people who are leaning in, where the dev managers and the directors and the engineers believe that, hey, this might be something that's of value to them. And so we're lucky right now in that there are more of those.
And are there any kind of common trends that you find between roasts of services, like things that you might find that could be applicable to the entire organization?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, part of this is taking common learnings, because each of these, historically, each of these teams has solved the entire production deployment stack for themselves, you know, in their own way. And so part of this is trying to find good solutions to those problems and then share them horizontally. And that moves into the wider engagement model.
Thanks.
How do you pick moderators? Is it someone on your team, or is it generally day manager, project manager, someone like that?
We've done it both ways. Typically, it's been somebody on our team, on the SRE or within the SRE organization, but not otherwise involved in the engagement. Sometimes there's people that are good picks just from other teams, other development teams and other things that want to participate in these types of things and learn. It's actually a great learning opportunity for both the moderators as well as the teams that are involved. And so it's kind of whoever makes the most sense for maybe that particular service or just generally. We do look for people who have good conflict management skills. Super important, obviously, in the moderator role where you're trying to de-escalate a situation. And so we don't just throw anybody into that role without having them be prepared.
Thank you very much.